DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. It's me, Happy KB, the host, and we have a guest with us today. Today, we have a community member who was formerly known as Harry Potter. At one point in time, he was also known as Voldemort. And now he has come back with us. And how do you actually say your name on the site now?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Is it Luffy? Is it Luffy-san? Luffy-san? Say your name for me.
Luffy-san.
Luffy-san. Okay, so we had Harry Potter, had Voldemort, and now it's Luffy-san. What does Luffy-san mean?
It would be like Luffy from One Piece.
Okay.
That's what his crewmates would call him. San is kind of just like the Japanese suffix for friend.
Okay.
It was what popped into my head like the fifth time that I had to make a username.
Yes, I like it. It's very charming. I also like your profile picture that you have on here. It's good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So, welcome back, by the way, to the community. You have been gone for a while. My first question to you is, do you remember how long ago it had been since you first joined the community? Do you know? I can't go and look because I don't know. It might be. I might be able to tell that. Let me look if I can do that. But do you know off the top of your head how long ago it'd been? Like, you've been here from almost the beginning, right? The first time?
Yeah. Like, I'm thinking it was before 2020.
Well, and see, the site started.
I'm not sure. Like, what was it? Like, beginning of 2019?
April 19th. April 2019 is when we launched the site to live. I'm trying to see if I have any records. Sometimes you, unfortunately, first time left our community. Not on the best note. So I'm trying to see if we have that record of when. No, it's not. Oh, I have it in the wrong place. So let's while I'm looking for this, tell me, how did you find DMT World the first time?
So, funny story.
Mm-hmm.
I was just Googling random DMT related searches. Because I was really looking for some sign that I was not alone in the world.
Right.
And then I found you guys. And did I'm like, holy shit.
Did you find it did you find it, like, did you find the app? Did you find the website? What avenue brought you? Like, how did you find it? Some people just go onto the app store and they just type in DMT, or they type in psychedelic, or so they find it that way. Other people, like, right.
I was also just making searches like that on the app store. So I'm honestly not sure if I found the app or the website first.
Right. Who knows?
Yeah.
So, tell me, what are you doing? What have you been doing since the last time you were on our site? Anything particular?
I've been moving around a lot.
Yeah. By choice, by like, are you out journeying? Are you looking to be moving, or is it just things that are happening?
Partially by choice, partially by circumstances.
Oh, yeah.
At different times.
Right. So you're in the Ohio area, is that correct?
Yeah.
Have you always been up there? The reason I ask is because
a couple summers ago I had to leave Ohio because of unfortunate circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I went to Virginia, and then from Virginia I went down to Georgia, and then I came back to Ohio.
Okay, and the reason I asked that is basically because I couldn't remember exactly where you were located at. So that explains it. If you've moved around that much, that's why I can't pinpoint where you have actually been at. So so at this point in time, let's talk about when you were first on the site. So you were first on the site and you were quite active on the site quite a bit. You actually were a merchant at one point in time, and you used to make these really cute pendants. And I think you have a picture of one of the carvings. Are they walnuts? Is that what they are?
They're avocado pits.
Oh, so you carve them, right? And then you turn them into like a pendant for a necklace.
Yeah.
Is this something you still do?
Yeah, that was the good old days.
It was the good old days. So can you tell me what happened? Like, this is why you had to leave our site at one point in time. I'm going to give you the floor to just tell us what your story is.
I appreciate you asking, because it's not always easy to deal with, let alone understand. But I think I was going through a really dark point in my life at that time. And it largely had to do with overusing the medication that I was taking, including Adderall. And making really poor choices, hanging out with the wrong people. Not being the person that I needed to be for the right people. And then I think, although there's people who've been in similar situations who've said, psychedelics actually provided a healthy way for us to overcome that. Mm-hmm. I think I definitely misused psychedelics at the time as well.
Yeah.
And that really backfired on me.
So when you say you were overusing, exactly what do you mean by that? I mean, you were using other medications, and you said Adderall. So that alone right there, that's a methamphetamine. That's like an amphetamine. And we know overuse of that is because it's a stimulant. So what kind of psychedelics were you overusing as well?
Mainly mushrooms and acid.
What?
Like, I would mix mushrooms or acid with Adderall.
Ooh.
And then I would stay up for days at a time.
Tripping.
Yeah.
And working on
It was like, really not healthy at all.
Were you trying to get away from something?
Or get back to something.
Were you lost then? Were you like trying to get back to your something, like a way of thinking or a way you used to be?
Just like a way of thinking, feeling, and being.
Yeah.
That I had found through DMT.
Yeah. So.
But I misused that too, and I don't know. I think I've learned my lesson at this point, but it was really sad.
Let me tell you this. We all go through it. A lot of us that are on this site have found ourselves in same types of situations. We have found ourselves being dishonest without even realizing it, by not keeping our promises to the people that we had promised or we had made deals with. Sometimes the substances take over more of our mental capacity, of our ego sometimes in flares with psychedelics. We know that. We see that all over the place. Sometimes we get caught up, and it's not just you that this has happened to. This has happened to me in the past. And that's also why I wanted to hear the story, and I wanted to know what was going on during that time, because I can remember a little bit about it, but something big was happening to you, and none of us knew, and you weren't telling any of us. How come you didn't tell us?
I think that I tried not to until it escalated to the point where the other admins decided to boot me. Right. And then it was too late.
Right. It was too late.
I definitely should have spoken up sooner.
Yeah, because...
But, like, I would go longer and longer between getting on the site, because I would get so depressed every time that I did, thinking that I was too depressed to even carve the avocado pit necklaces.
Right.
And they got moldy, and then I was really screwed.
Oh, see, yeah. See, I think that if...
And I was also in, like, a really, like, like, a out-of-whack living situation at the time.
Right.
I was in, it was during COVID. I was in, like, a one-bedroom apartment with, like, a couple other guys, one of whom was a heroin addict.
Oh my.
And I really got pulled into a negative place spiritually, because I was trying to, like, help everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, I was the one that needed the most help.
Yeah. So, future, can I give you a little bit of advice?
Yeah.
When you find yourself in those types of situations, tell us. Talk to us. Don't hide from us. Even if you owe something to us, don't hide. You need to talk up. You need to speak up. We are of a community that understands. We are a community that, no matter what, we may not be happy about it, but we're here, okay? So, future, if you find yourself like that, in that predicament, talk to somebody. Talk to us. This is also why I wanted to talk with you in this interview, is because I wanted to give you that voice, the opportunity to, one, let us know what went on, and two, it's, you know, if there's anything you want to say to the community in regards to it, this is your opportunity. I believe everybody gets a second chance. I believe people change. I believe people grow. I believe that we become better versions of ourselves, but a lot of times people aren't given the opportunity to show it or to prove it or to even just to prove it to themselves, because the validation comes from other people, but it proves it to yourself that you are at a better place. You are a better person. So I wanted to give you that opportunity to say whatever it is you wanted to say to this community in regards to what had happened and transpired, so we can close that door and can put it away, and we can move forward with where you are now, because you have evolved. So this is your moment to say whatever it is to the community you would like to about what had happened when Harry Potter was on the site.
Well, I really appreciate that, KB, because I like to think that I try to give everybody else that chance. And so I guess it takes really messing up and being able to admit it to give yourself that chance. So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You deserve it. There's no reason to shut people out when they make mistakes. It's not how we get better. That's how we cause other issues along the line with other people, even when we don't mean to. And that's the one thing I want people to understand is, like, we have to have compassion. We have to think. We have to understand and sympathize with people, especially the people that are in our community, because a lot of us don't have people outside of this community. We don't have people in real life. We don't have the five buddies that are going to go trip with us. You know, we don't have that, whatever it is we all have in DMT world. We don't have those people in real life. So it's really important that when people do mess up, and it's just how I feel, that people need the opportunity to make the correction. Because if they don't, then they may not do it the rest of their life in other situations. So we need to help people understand how to become better and to move. Because we could have completely shut you out, and then there's no telling what would have happened to you. So like I said, I believe in second chances, because I know people can change. And so that's important. So now that we've closed that door, boom, back there by Harry Potter, but you can still be Harry Potter. Oh, yeah. It's fine. Because I still might call you Harry Potter, but you know, whatever. So I was looking at your profile, and there's a lot of artwork on this profile. Did you do all this art that is on here?
Yeah.
You drew all this stuff.
Yeah.
Really?
And so some of it I had the editing help of AI.
Yeah.
Which would have repulsed me in the past. I'm like, no, the Matrix isn't going to help me do any artwork. But it's really not all that bad. Like, it just, like, it took, like, playing around with the editing tools that I always do to, like, a completely different level. And it actually made the drawings look pretty cool.
It does. It takes your art and it just amplifies it. I don't see bad things with AI when it comes to certain stuff. Like, I can see totally bad stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, my brain runs over the cliff when I start thinking about AI and everything. But when it comes to art, like the way that you're using it here and the way I've seen some other people use it, yes, I you know, it's a tool. We should be allowed to use the tools that are at hand. Do I agree with some of how some of the tools are gotten kind of out of hand of taking other artworks and styles and stuff and like completely, you know, created things off of it? I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. But no, but what I've seen you've done with some of your artwork, I think it's really cool. Is this Harry Potter picture? Did you do that with the AI?
I found that online.
I love that. You need to recreate something like that for your art, because you are Harry Potter. So let's see. So what else do you do? Like, you said you don't have a job right now, but you know, I have a feeling that's going to change in the future. What kinds of things do you like to do? Like, I don't know you as well as I know a lot of people in the community, because, well, you haven't been around the whole time. I wasn't getting to know people in the beginning when we were all like doing DMT world and stuff, because I was too concentrated of like not trying to stay in contact with too many people, because what I understood was if people were going to do things, it was better that I didn't communicate with people, because I always found things out. It's hard to make a move amongst the DMT community without me finding out. You know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know a lot about you. I'd like to know some things about you. What do you like to do in your spare time besides creating art and avocado pits?
I've gotten into blacksmithing recently.
Really?
Well, yeah.
How did you come about that?
I've been watching videos attempting to do it for years.
Mm-hmm.
and had like limited success. Like I've made like quote unquote actual swords, although they look like crap to a professional bladesmith.
But you're,
the fact that I made it without a drill or an angle grinder at the time is crazy.
That is crazy.
But recently, I met a guy about my age at the gas station, and he gave me a ride home with a flat, because I had a flat tire on my bike, and I told him about my blacksmithing stuff, and he said that he comes from a family of generations of blacksmithers.
Oh.
Blacksmiths.
That's synchronicity right there.
Right. And he gave me coal and fire bricks and an anvil.
Oh my goodness.
And railroad spikes and scrap metal.
Oh wow. That is awesome. So you've been out there pounding on that anvil, creating all kinds of things, haven't you?
Not as much as I should, but I think that that's good because I'm trying to save the materials.
Right.
Until I, learn more about it, because I have wasted a lot of materials and money and time, and although I had a great time doing it, I want to try to actually master the craft this time.
Absolutely. I agree with that. You need to find some scrap stuff that you can just stuff that's already beaten up to hell, and then you just kind of refurbish it. What else do you like to do?
I love my electric bike.
You have an electric bike? Like a stationary electric bike, or like an electric bike that like actually goes somewhere?
An electric bike that actually goes somewhere.
Oh, okay. Well, my brain was going all kinds of different directions.
I got
okay.
you.
Tell me, you have an electric bike, okay?
It was a present from my older sister this spring, and it totally changed my life.
Okay.
Because I'm 24, but I haven't driven since I was 21.
Oh well. Driving scares me, so I completely understand that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. My 19-year-old doesn't want to drive, so I understand. Of course, it's like, I feel like there's a million more people on the street driving than there used to be, and I don't know, I feel very claustrophobic. If I had a chauffeur, I would be totally happy, but whatever. Okay, back to this electric bike. So, like you say electric bike, is it like a Vespa? Is it like a scooter? Is it?
It looks like a mountain bike, but it starts going on its own once you start pedaling.
What?
It reaches like 25 miles an hour.
What? What kind of bike is this? I have no idea. I don't know exactly what this looks like. So it looks like a regular, like a dirt bike.
It's the sheet.
What's the brand of this bike?
Wing.
What'd you say?
Wing.
Wing. Wing electric bike. What? How old? I mean, like, what's? Is this like a brand new thing? Is this an older model? Like.
It was like expensive as hell. Apparently, like I can't believe that my sister and my brother-in-law really like. Came in clutch like that.
Like, okay.
I can believe it. Like, they're awesome people, but it was like.
This is a really nice bike.
It was a really nice bike.
Is yours all black like this one I'm looking at?
Yeah.
Wow. They bought you one of these? This is really kind of cool. I've never seen anything like this before. Is yours the Freedom X, or is yours the Freedom Fatty 2?
The Freedom Fatty 2.
That's what yours is? Because that's the one that looks like a dirt bike. It's got the bigger tires on it.
They specifically picked that one for me because they know I'm always cutting through fields and stuff on foot.
Well, see, and I was looking at these because the one that's the Freedom X looks more like a doesn't look like the dirt bike because it looks more like a 10-speed. or a, you know what I mean? Looks like a normal bike, but the fatty, the Freedom Fatty too. I just like the name, first of all, but it's got the thicker wheels and it's got, I mean, it looks like you could probably take them up on the mounds and like drive the mounds with this bike. So that's really cool that they bought this for you. I don't know. Let's see. Click. I'm trying to see like when this came out. Because these look relatively new. I don't know. That's cool. So this is how you get around? Okay, yeah. So is there a battery in this? Do you have to like plug it in? Is it self charging? Like, do you know exactly how this thing works? Off the top of your head?
Yeah, it has a battery that lasts for about 10 miles.
Oh my, that's pretty good.
So, I'm living with my dad right now, and we're kind of like more out towards the middle of nowhere where things are more spread out.
Oh, sure.
But I was living more like towards the city of Cleveland with my mom for the first 6 months of this year.
Right.
And I was working when I was up there, and I would take it to work every day. And I wouldn't have to charge it for like 3 days.
Oh, my. This is really cool. I'm going to...
Unless I was like zipping all over town, like to the liquor store or the grocery store.
Well, yeah, just the way that this looks, this gets you all kinds of places. It's got the same type of charging motor like a scooter does, but like the battery in it's like high powered. That's so cool.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, that's real interesting. Like, I'm always looking for something different to do, and that would be right up my alley. I need to get back on a bike. And a electric bike sounds quite appealing. I don't think I'd get as much exercise on an electric one than I would a normal one, huh? Then I'd probably defeat my purpose. It's fine. It's fine.
My mom said she was thinking about it.
I know. That's good.
I'm like, Mom, you haven't been on a bike in like 40 years. maybe you should.
Did she hit you after you said that? Was she like,
I didn't say that, obviously.
Right, because you probably wouldn't be sitting here talking to me if you did.
I just kind of sat there smugly and was like, yep, the bike's pretty cool.
Right. So, you said you're 24?
My mom actually exercises way more than me, so I'm not one to talk.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So you said you're 24 years old, yes?
Yeah.
Do you have any, like, did we go to college? Did we go to tech school? Did we go straight to having a job? Like, what did we do after we got out of school? I'm going to pry a little bit here.
Well, I took building trades in high school.
Oh, that's good.
It's, or construction, depending on like what school it is, but essentially, they taught us how to build all the components of a house.
Right.
Like, 1 week, we had, like, a floor module or, like, a shower or what have you.
Right.
And I thought that that's what I was going to do as a career.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a terrible relationship with my teacher, and he managed to fail me by 1 point by the end of the year so that I couldn't move on to the senior class.
Oh, no.
And guarantee that as a career.
Mm.
And I thought, well, F you, I'm going to do it on my own anyway. And then I ended up just dropping out of high school a couple years later and getting my GED.
Yeah.
And I was going to go to community college at that point, because I thought I wanted to do English as a second language, teaching it in South America.
Oh, yeah. Like on the programs, like whatever the English programs that they have, because I think they have some that for, I think my friend went and did one in Korea, I think. But anyways, yes. So that didn't pan out for you?
About 2 weeks in, I dropped out. So it's not that the ESL wouldn't have worked out for me, because you only need a certificate to do that.
Oh.
Not any sort of like college thing.
Right.
So if I still wanted to do that, I guess technically I could, but I just decided that college was not for me. And that I wanted to work full time at the time.
Yeah. And that's okay. College isn't not for everybody. I didn't finish out college.
I needed a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't get a computer. And I was like, well, shoot, right off the bat, like, what the fuck?
Right. Well, that's all right. You're still young. You're still finding yourself. You're still trying to figure out what you want to do. So, since we're talking about DMT world and the community, what is your favorite psychedelic?
My favorite psychedelic is definitely DMT.
And why is that?
I think that it's like the most... the most natural and intrinsic and powerful in relation to our nervous systems.
Mm.
But that's just my personal take on it. I know, like, it's just because, like, I've had the feeling when I've done it, like, this was, like, 1,000% meant to be. And I know that other people have had the same experience with other psychedelics, and that maybe we're both right, but I definitely like DMT the most.
Right. So can you share a DMT trip with me that you can remember? I can never remember mine, but I know there are some people that remember theirs. Do you have any that you want to share?
Well, the first time that I did it, I was at a music festival with my ex-girlfriend, and we were sleeping in her car when we heard somebody outside the car talking about mushroom chocolates. And so that got us very excited, and we popped our heads out, and we're like, mushroom chocolates? And they're like, yeah, we know somebody across the campgrounds who has them. But he also said that he was an interdimensional Pleiadian starseed shaman, and he had DMT that he would like to smoke us up with.
Oh, my.
And so we pointed him in the direction of our tent,
mm-hmm.
and we ran and used the porta potties. And by the time that we got back, he had the whole thing like set up for a little ritual.
Oh.
With this last bowl of weed that we had and the incense burning. He put like his last little bit of DMT on the bowl of weed.
Oh.
And then we all took a hit, and it was like really intense, even that small of a dose.
Right.
I could feel a lot of like subconscious stuff like coming to the surface within me, which was way more intense than I had imagined. It was like, and I was getting visuals of like all of this like extremely complex like geometry representing it at the time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, wow. Like, something's definitely happening. And I was almost overwhelmed for a sec. But then I feel like Joshua, the shaman,
mm-hmm.
could actually, like, sense what was going on within me. And started, like, talking to Megan, but in a way that I felt like he was talking to me. to calm me down at the same time about like stuff that I would have bet $1 million no other human would know about.
I'm sure he probably was tapped in. If he introduces himself the way that you told me who he is, I'm sure he probably did have some extra feelers when he sits and smokes people up with DMT. He almost Was that the first time you did DMT?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, so, I thought he was pretty great vibes. And then for the next like 45 minutes, we just like laid on the tent floor and looked up at through the screen at the forest canopy. And that was like really, really cool and interesting. The visuals of that.
So tell me, how young were you when you first experienced any psychedelics?
So younger than most people.
Oh.
I first did mushrooms when I was 14.
Okay. And how was that?
So much laughing that I can barely remember.
Well, that was about 10 years ago, so. Okay, so 10 years fast forward, how different is tripping on mushrooms now opposed to then?
Oh, so much different.
Or any psychedelic. So,
yeah.
In 4 years, you have the way that I can see it, you have changed quite a bit. You've grown. You have, it's apparent, like, you were at a different place than you were when you were banned off the site the first time. Tell me about what has done that for you, or do you even know? Like, I know you have changed. So tell me in your own words what it is or how have you changed?
I think better decision making.
Yeah.
Primarily. Because when I was younger, I used to think that I could do, like, risky or just outright dangerous stuff, and that it would 100% be totally fine.
Yeah.
And that was just not true all the time, although some of the time I was right, and I'm like, see, I'm not crazy. But some of the time it just really backfired on me.
Yes.
And I think an important part of that is taking other people into consideration that don't want to see you do that to yourself.
That's very true. That is very true. So tell me, we're going to look towards the future.
And I stopped doing Adderall.
Yeah, that's a big thing. That's a huge thing.
Like from ages like 19 to 23, I was addicted to Adderall.
Did you need Adderall?
And I was doing it just an absurd amount of it.
Were you diagnosed to have Adderall?
Yeah.
You were.
because
they told you had ADHD or ADD.
Yeah.
Do you think you do?
Definitely.
Do you think that it can be controlled without substances like Adderall?
I've learned that it can. Because at a certain point, I was convinced that I would not have another non-shitty day for the rest of my life without Adderall.
Right. So what?
And it's been about 10 months at this point, and some days I don't even think about it. That's a good sign.
What are you doing when the moments of when those moments of the ADD does come at? Are you, is there something that you are able to do to settle it down? Or are you just learning how to live with it? Like, are you using any other, do you use substances other than, like, do you use DMT if, when you have it? Or do you use mushrooms when you have them to help in microdosing levels to help with the ADD? Or have you experienced that far yet? How many questions can I ask?
Within the last month, since quitting Adderall cold turkey,
mm-hmm.
I've pretty much just been drinking and smoking.
The drinking can be a problem.
In terms of substances.
Drinking might be a problem, so just be very mindful of that. I'm not saying not to do it, but just know that.
Well, I definitely tend to go overboard with it. And if left to my own devices. And so I've been really cutting back on that recently. And good. Weed too.
Well, you can smoke all the weed you want. I'll never tell you not to smoke weed. if there's any substance that I will never stop utilizing, that is cannabis. And so I would be a hypocrite if I told somebody else to stop. I'm not a big drinker. When I bartended when I was younger, and bartending really cured me from wanting to really drink, because when you're attending bar with a bunch of really, really, really drunk people and you're not drunk, it's kind of annoying. And then you realize that you look like they look when you're drunk too. So I stayed sober. Well, I mean, from alcohol. I may have been on other stuff, but I stayed sober from alcohol when I bartended. Made a lot of money though. It was good. Yeah. So the Adderall, yeah, I'm glad that's something that you're putting away. I think there are ways to get through the ADHD.
I'm not really that concerned about the ADHD.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, I was way more concerned about, like, the addiction, like, not being able to function on a given day without it.
Right.
And the psychosis of, hearing voices and stuff. Was really bad.
So
I've also gotten a handle on that within the last 10 months.
Good. So I used to be a meth addict. So,
oh gosh.
Yeah. So you talk about the ADHD and the, you know, the being worried about the addiction. Yeah. Because the amphetamine part of it is huge. Once your body starts to liking it and wanting it, that you just want it. So, yeah, I understand. So I'm always impressed when somebody can put away the stimulants, because I loved stimulants. I still love stimulants. I don't do stimulants. I stay away from them if at all possibility. But it's like, I liked them. I love caffeine. Like, I like to go fast. I like to be zooming. I like to. So, yeah, good job putting that out.
Like, I was prescribed 50 milligrams a day of Adderall. And usually I would just, Adderall XR.
Okay.
And usually I would just take that as a starter dose and then do up to like 150 milligrams within the next 24 to 48 hours.
You were just
I was doing everything short of shooting it up.
You were just tweaked out of your little brain there, weren't you?
Yeah.
And they prescribed it to you, right?
Right.
Because they said you have ADHD or ADD or whatever you have that warranted it.
And my doctor was willing to do it under the assurance that I was also taking the antipsychotic meds, which was not even true most of the time.
What were those antipsychotic meds?
Seroquel, Ambien. And Abilify?
All at the same time?
Yeah.
Whoa, that's a heavy-duty cocktail right there. Seroquel alone. Okay, we used to take Seroquel, right? Back in my day back when we were doing a bunch of stuff. And Seroquel, I'll tell you what, it doesn't work on me. Like, it makes me mean. It makes me hateful. I don't need them because they have the complete opposite. And then I can remember we'd take them and we'd get to that point where everything starts getting weird on them. And then I would just drop. They would drop me. And then I'd be out cold for like a day and a half. So that and Ambien, Ambien alone is, that's a weird little, I don't even want to call it a drug. I mean, it is a drug, but that's a weird capsule, an Ambien is.
It has the weirdest stories out of probably any drug on Reddit.
You know what? You are right. I have read several Ambien stories, and I'm just like, why do you
people? The people claim to have met a walrus on it.
I've read that story. I have read that one.
I guess yes. That's like the Ambien entity.
Oh my goodness. What was the other one you said you were taking as well?
Abilify.
What is Abilify? I don't know what that is.
It's a mood stabilizer, and it actually probably would have been better if I was taking it like I was supposed to during the time of the Adderall.
Yeah, because they were trying to cocktail you so that it all was working within itself, but that's a lot of medication to be on. That's a lot.
Yeah, I really can't hate on the Abilify, but the Ambien and the Seroquel are just like, yeah, like really, really serious and different.
I can't understand what was so off with you that you had to take all those medications. Like, you're 24 years old. How long were you taking that medication?
I was taking Seroquel the whole 4 years I was on Adderall.
No.
And Ambien I was taking Seroquel and Abilify the whole time, and Ambien the whole second half. Oh my god, I even convinced my doctor to give me benzos at a certain point. Yeah.
Why? Were you just wanting to get loaded?
Yeah.
You just and wanted to get hooked up.
I stopped the Ativan.
What the heck's Ativan?
Because it's just like Xanax.
What were you taking those for?
Those are the benzo that I convinced him to prescribe me after such a long time, because I told him this story about like a really bad experience on acid I had, and how I was still having a bad trip the next day from the HPPD until somebody gave me a Xanax and it went away immediately. And after all those years, he finally cracked and he was like, you know what? I think you can be trusted with a benzo. And I don't think that would have been the worst thing ever, except that I have purposely avoided benzos for years because of how addictive they are. And I know that if I start getting addicted to something that can kill you way quicker, I probably shouldn't do that.
Right, and because also, I'm just
a stickler for my negative energy. I don't want something that can just take it away immediately. I want to sit there and deal with it.
You don't want to be numb?
No.
Me neither. That's why I like stimulants. I don't like.
But yeah, it was just a shit show with all the meds over the years.
So how did you stop?
I finally got to a point where I just was completely broken mentally. And I checked myself into the psych ward. And upon getting out, I have just been more committed to getting better. That was like around last Thanksgiving.
So when you were in this facility, what did you learn there? Because obviously you learned something, because you are a different person and I can tell. So what did you learn while you were in there? Sounds like you like yourself more than you used to, at least. So I think maybe you learned that.
I think I learned how much certain people in my life really care.
Yeah.
People that, like, the voices in my head and the paranoia and everything had been trying to convince me that they hated me.
Yeah. Do those voices still talk to you?
Not very often.
When they come out, when do they come out?
Well, last winter when I got out of the psych ward, they were still, like, just fully prevalent and overwhelming 24/7. And then somewhere between then and now, I think I've just, like, accepted them enough to where they don't scare me anymore. And so instead of constant negative stuff, it's usually actually good stuff.
Right. So I understand. I understand the things that your brain tells you, the voices tell you that make you think that other people see you in certain lights. That's, you're not the only person that has those. I've know several people that deal with those types of voices, and they may not be like yours exactly, but it's very the similar type thing that I've talked with them about as well. The overactive part of the brain that constantly tells you that you're no good, or people don't like you, or people won't like. I get it. I understand. You know, those voices are not telling you truthful things, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good you understand that and you know that. When you're in the psych ward, is that something that you talk to them about, is the voices? Were you honest about that with them?
I was just, like, relentlessly honest with them, yeah.
Good. That's good. Were you comfortable talking about things when you were there? I've never been to therapy. This is why I'm asking. I've never been in a situation where I've sat down and had to talk or needed to talk to somebody in that capacity. That's why I'm asking some of these questions, because I don't know what that would be like. I don't know what it would be like to sit down and talk to a therapist. It's not that I don't like therapy. I just have never experienced it.
I'm glad that you asked. So I actually have been going to therapy this year too.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just doing medication, I'm just doing therapy now. And my therapist is just the coolest.
Yeah.
Like, I've met some, like, unsavory characters over the years, but she's just awesome. Like,
does she know that you do psychedelics?
Yeah. Good. And she's super understanding about it.
Good.
She actually said that she has a patient who does ketamine therapy.
Nice. Very nice. Interesting. And I'm not sure how I feel about ketamine. I'm not a big fan of ketamine because I've had big bad experiences with it, but I'm very intrigued with the whole ketamine and it being used in therapy, especially for people with PTSD and those types of, like, heavy traumas that they just need that it helps do whatever it helps to do. I think it's fascinating. It's fascinating to get to talk to people who are in the middle of doing the therapy, because it just gives me a better understanding. I'm glad that you have talked to your therapist about psychedelics and that you use them. You're not in a state though that they're decriminalized or being used in any fashion, are you? Ohio isn't, right? you're next to Michigan. Michigan is the one that's utilizing.
I think right medically now. they're at least doing research on psilocybin and MDMA as well.
In Ohio?
Yeah. Definitely not across the board legalization though.
Well, and like I said, you're up there by Michigan, so like they're because that's where we went for the Ethnofest, and so like they're really big into utilizing the therapies and the different stuff. I just don't know. I don't know the laws, and I don't know the policies in Ohio. That's not a state I've really looked into. I don't know why, because all of you people seem to live in Ohio that I know, because it's like you and Clap and Sater, and like all you people seem to be residing in Ohio. I feel like I'm missing something. So I'm going to have to make a trip to Ohio.
That'd be awesome.
It would be awesome. I don't know. I don't know if I've been to Ohio or not. No, yes, I have. I've been to Youngstown, Ohio. The reason I know I've been to Youngstown, Ohio is because that is where we stopped. When we went to Woodstock 99, we stopped at my friend's house because her family lived there. And we had this, she's a cook. She's a chef. She's an amazing chef. And so we had the most wonderful risotto. She made this homemade risotto. I've never tasted it before, and it was so good. But we stayed there overnight, and then we drove into Rome, New York. And then we did our Woodstock 99. And then Sunday, when we packed up and we left, we drove all the way back to Youngstown. And that's where we stayed the night. And then we got up and drove the rest of the way into Chicago. So I have been to Ohio, but that's all I think I've been to is Youngstown, Ohio. How far away?
Well, about your question about therapy and or yes. The psych ward.
Yes.
I think that therapy is just great in general all the time. or at least it doesn't hurt.
Right. No,
it's definitely not like a magical solution for everything.
Right.
But the psych ward, on the other hand, I think should be reserved for extreme cases like where I was in, where I was just totally out of my mind.
Yeah.
And there are so many just unhinged people in there that they have to deal with, that they have like really strict and unwavering policies about everything and very limited personal freedom. And of course, constantly asking you questions about your mental state. And so I actually got out of there as quickly as possible and tried to incorporate the lessons that I learned in my actual life.
Right. You were inpatient, like you were used to.
Yeah, I was inpatient for 3 days.
3 days. 3 days. Do you feel those 3 days did you some good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the after that third day,
I was still hallucinating and having florid delusions, and the voices were just nonstop. But I was 100% convinced that it was a lie at that point, what they were trying to tell me.
Right.
Which was that reality was not reality and was instead some really sinister plot.
You know, you laugh at that, but you are not the first person who has said that type of thing to me, that that's what was going on in their head. So, like, I understand it in a small point, but what drove you to that point, to thinking in that extreme? Do you know? I mean, is it something that has gradually happened over time, or has something happened that has put you in that state in your brain to make you think, and it telling you that those extremes thoughts?
I think that I just used to have like the most impervious confidence in the beauty of life. And so the bad vibes made it their mission to slowly bring me down.
That's tough.
It was really tough.
So you say you live with your mom right now or your dad?
My dad.
And he dealt with all this fine? Did he have problems with you going in? I mean, how did your parents handle this? Because if you were my child, I don't know what I would do. It would be very hard. Because when our kids are in a state of mind like that, and we cannot fix them or solve them or make everything right, like that just, that kind of gets at you. Did your parents handle things okay?
My mom was definitely the most supportive out of anybody in the whole world.
Good.
And she let me stay with her for the next, like, 6 months until I got a better handle on things. And I was working again when I was up there. And I was doing way better. And she was just completely instrumental in helping me. And although my dad actually tried to discourage me from going to the psych ward, he was pretty supportive, too.
Good. It's important to have a good support system, especially when we're dealing with mental instability. Do you have any siblings?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I have a ridiculous number of siblings.
Oh my gosh. I don't know why I asked that. I know you said that because your sister bought you the bike. Your sister and brother? Is that right?
In-law.
You have a ridiculous amount of sibling. What exactly does that mean? You have like 12. 4, 5? What? What'd you say?
My parents had 12 kids and 10 of us are still living.
Oh my goodness.
I was number 10 and I weighed exactly 10 pounds, which is weird.
Oh my. Well, how old's the oldest then?
Oldest is 41.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're all really cool in their own way.
That's quite the distance.
Some of them I get along with better than others, but we all love each other.
I was going to say, that's Christmases must be interesting. Gatherings must be interesting. 12, that's a lot of brothers. I have one, and I could barely stand him growing up, so I couldn't imagine having 12. I don't know what I would have done. I can't even imagine having 12 children. Like, that's, like, unfathomable. It's hard enough if I was having two, so... So let's talk. I was going to talk about a future. Where do you see yourself in the future? It can be near future. It can be long-term future. Like, what are you working for? What are you wanting? What are you looking and seeking after? What are you wanting to do?
I'm not really sure. But that's I know that whatever I do, I want to have my family and friends with me.
Yeah.
And the rest of the awesome people in the world. And I want to be the kind of person that everyone can count on.
I think that's good. I think that's real good. Do you do it yourself? Do you DIY any of the substances that we talk about? Like, do you grow or do you extract or do you do those?
No, not at the moment.
Okay. But you're willing to in the future. You're working towards that, right?
Yeah, I can definitely say that if I wasn't broke right now, I would already have.
Right.
But I'm just taking things one day at a time.
Sure.
If you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned that a friend of mine had the mushroom bars, although he was looking for regular mushrooms.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
He caved in and decided that the mushroom bars were fine and went pretty deep on them
nice.
The other night.
Oh, nice.
And he gave me a couple squares, and they are not anything to scoff at.
I love that. That's so good. So, here, this
one. That was the first time that I had tripped in almost a year.
Nice. So, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to gift you. Actually, I'm going to pay for you to have a psychonaut status on DMT World. I'm going to pay for it.
Oh, shit. Thank you.
And then what I'm going to do, what that will do, that will allow you to be in the marketplace. And we talked about before we started recording how it all works in the marketplace, and we understand how that the three-party pay system works. And since we've discussed that and you are understanding, I'm going to do that for you so you can put in things in the marketplace to sell. If you make anything with the anvil and stuff and all that material and you create something in USL, you now have the ability to sell it in the marketplace.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to do that for you.
I was thinking of making mushrooms out of the railroad spikes instead of the classic railroad spike knife.
Oh, that would be super. I think that would be really cool. Yeah. You've got a bunch of art. You are an artist. You can do all kinds of stuff. Yeah. So I want you to do that, okay? I also want you to start manifesting and start looking towards your future. We closed the door to the past. There's nothing hanging on you anymore there. So at this point in time, going forward, sky's the limit. I want you to go out there and I want you to just do the best you can and just, it's going to come to you. I promise that. I know it's going to come to you. So with that being said, I think we are going to end that conversation here on that good note. But I do want to ask you, this is the ending part of our interview, and I would like you to, this is your opportunity to say whatever you want to say to the community, or if you have anything, a story or a poem or anything you want to say, this is your opportunity at this point in time to do that. So it is all on you.
I just want to say rock on, guys. And keep being immature. Don't let anybody dull your sparkle. You guys are the best.
Very good.
I'm glad to be back.
I'm glad you are too. I'm glad that you accepted the invitation to be on the Rambling Rabbit. And with that being said, we are going to call that a wrap. I hope everybody enjoyed this interview that we had. And keep ascending, friends.